I love this. This is great. It's therapeutic for me too. And it's a great conversation to have that we don't have often enough. I didn't say anything about the paper when I first spoke because I was talking a little bit more broadly. Let me just make one or two comments, circling back around in the comments that you made. One thing I really liked about this paper Dina Davis wrote, and it's brought out by the comments that were made. One piece of it is anticipating the next problem, right? So that you described it as sort of a science fiction. I mean, bioethics, ethics time is slower than, you know, and also, you know, popular social discourse, political action, etc. If we're waiting for the technology to be implemented, we have to be, you know, responsive enough to be able to be looking at what's coming next. And we need to have those ethics discussions before the technological imperative means that it's happening now, right? So we need to, before you do the first face transplant, you need to have already talked about the ethical issues about face transplant, or forget about it. The horse has already left the barn and it's going to be awfully hard to have a real discussion about it. So that was one thought. And the second thought is just this sense that there are these, you know, the stock topics that bioethics has been preoccupied for a long time. Informed consent, autonomy being sort of at the heart of that. And we have this, you know, there's a lot of discussion of sort of getting beyond those neon light issues, and we're looking at some public health ethics and global health ethics, and honestly, that's where I do most of my work. But I liked also that it was asking this question about how those sort of common standard, you know, the stock topics are being, you know, they're being changed, they're shifting, sometimes they're amplifying based on shifting terrain. So we don't need to just move on to public health ethics. We need to continue to engage with how some of those issues relate to population health, what we've learned in the past, and to not stay stuck, but to keep looking at those issues.
Thank you.
I wanted to say one thing about the interdisciplinary team, and then I'll be quiet and let you do your thing. I think it's really, I think interdisciplinary work in bioethics is often the answer, and I wonder if students should have more opportunities to work in interdisciplinary teams in their training. And so this is a very practical thing for bioethics students. Sometimes if they can get linked in to interdisciplinary projects that faculty are working on, but rather than just sending them all off to write essays in our courses, I think that maybe there's a place for more shared work that they're working together on particular projects, and maybe that would be a way of training, because it is really hard to do the interdisciplinary thing, well, individually or collectively. And it raises challenges you never would have expected. Recently, some great discussions with a team about even how we think about publishing papers, where one person who is in a faculty of sociology saying, if there's more than two names on this paper, my department won't think it's worth very much. And then someone from public health saying, if there are less than six names on this paper, my department thinks that I was wasting my time and being totally inefficient. So, I mean, there's things you never would have anticipated that might be surprising. Are we anticipating those and training students to work together in all sorts of ways? Thank you.